Jesus House, in pursuit of God, discovering purpose, maximizing potential, impacting lives. This message is being brought to you from Jesus House, London. God bless you.
Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we just want to bless you and thank you for this amazing opportunity to share together this morning. We ask, Lord, that you have your way. Let your name be glorified. And in our midst, Father, your word reminds us that where we gather two, three, and more, you are. So, Father, we say thank you. And be with us through this time together. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Take your seats, ladies and gentlemen. Online, at the hub. Hallelujah. Anyone feeling thankful today? I love that. Feeling thankful. Oh, come on, guys. Feeling thankful? Hallelujah. That's more like it. Let's keep the energy up, guys. I am feeling very thankful today. You know why? Today, and I just spoke to him, is my dad's 89th birthday. 89. Really thankful for life. And guess what? And tomorrow is my birthday. So I'm really grateful and just thanking God for the gift of life. You can never take that for granted. And I hope and I pray that in your lives, you will always have reason to rejoice. Amen. And to give God thanks. Amen? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just want to say a big, massive thank you to Pastor Agu and the leadership of the church for the privilege it is to share the word this morning. So, Pastor, love you wherever you are. And thank you for this honor. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's get into it. You might be wondering why that's here. It will all come. It will all make sense in a second. So, if I take you back to introduce this message, I have to take you back to 2019, the Pursuit of God Conference. And for those who don't know, the Pursuit of God Conference is our time in the month of June when we come together to do exactly what it says on the tin, to pursue God. And we do that through times of prayer, fellowship, and worship together. Amen? So during that year, 2019 Pursuit of God Conference, I discovered a new delight in prayer. That's what I called it, yeah? I felt and I recognized that I was enjoying prayer more. And I figured that there must be some personal circumstances that helped me to achieve that, yeah? So I wanted to know what they were. I wanted to understand what was going on and see how I could distill what I was experiencing. So why was I praying more? Why was it easier? Why? And what else could I still improve on? This was the journey I went on personally. And all this made me realize that there must be some approaches, some things that we go through individually that, if adopted, could enhance our prayer lives. Amen? And more than that, those approaches, I believe that they could be tailored and they could be personal to each of us. We could have experiences that we could work up together and carry us closer into God's presence. And that's what today is all about. Amen? So, it actually works. So, ladies and gentlemen, what does DIY stand for? Do it yourself, right? There you go. I believe that prayer is that thing that, as a Christian, we must all do ourselves. It's not something, I mean, people can pray for you and all that. Yes, I get that. But we don't contract out our prayer lives, yeah? Prayer is something that we must do ourselves. It is the foremost practical skill that every Christian, I believe, must develop. Because, and listen to this, a non-praying Christian is an accident. Ah, I knew you'd say that. It was a test, it was a trick question. Because that's what happens when you say accident, right? Waiting to happen. I believe that a non-praying Christian is an accident already happening. Yeah? Keep that one. Free of charge. Yeah? It's an accident already happening. Because to be a Christian and to not have a solid prayer life, it's quite challenging if you picture that. Amen? You know, generally in life, right, one of the areas and subjects of life that I'm very passionate about is strategy. Yeah? That's just me personally. And you might say that, you know, just as prayer ought to be a passion for a Christian, yeah? strategy, I find, is something I'm passionate about. And during my MBA, one of my Cambridge professors said, strategy is common sense. This is what she said, Allegra. Strategy is common sense. And that is what led to, and for those who need a topic for this sermon, this is it. That's what led to the topic of the sermon. And I wonder if it's there. It is there. So a common, thank you, MMD. Love you guys. Yeah. A common sense approach to practical praying. Amen. That's what I want to talk to you guys about. And when I say common sense, that's not meant at all to be a derogatory statement. It is really just to imply simplicity. This is simple. It's straightforward. And it can be easily applied. And everyone and anyone can do it. That's the idea. Amen? Amen. So guess what? Today is a day of surveys. So you just did one. You're going to do another. So please, let's make this sermon interactive. So everyone, please grab your phones again, if you could. Yeah? Let's just grab our phones, and I want to do something with you guys and see. But this time, we're going to see live results. So guys, when you're ready, could you please put that code up? And I want you to join me in the vote. It's totally anonymous, so anything you do, no one's going to know who voted what. So don't worry about that. I just have one question for you, literally one question. And please just scan that. Or you can go to that website, www.menti.com. Yeah, menti.com, and put in that code. Once you're in, we'll see numbers on the... Yeah, you see, they're climbing. What's that? 27, 20, 30. Fantastic. I reckon there may be 500, 600 people in this hall. Let's see how far we can get. Okay, so we're climbing. 65. Well done. So, and if you're online, the host will be putting the same information available online and also at the hub. Hopefully, you guys will see that. So you can either use the code or the QR code. And I think I should do this as well. How about that? Scan. Okay, let me not back you guys too long. We are in. Okay, click the thumbs up, by the way, guys, once you get there. Where are we? 200 and 300. Wow, you guys are quick. Yeah, it's moving. I only have one question, and it'll be quick. But the good thing about this is we're going to see the results live and see what that tells us. It keeps going. Actually, 400. Let's see if we get to 500 and we'll kick it off. Oh, maybe that's a big number. 410, 412. That's a lot of people. Okay. So I think we're going to get a great result. As I said, just one question. Guys, I think we should move on to the question so we save time. Please keep joining if you want to, guys. Everyone, just keep joining and then we'll see where this goes. So, multimedia department, thank you for all your help. Please, let's shift to the question. So, if we shift to the question on your phone, you should see the question come up. Okay? Speaking of DIY, yeah? I believe and I realize that prayer can be simple and practical. Yeah? And we all need to figure out what works for us. Everybody needs to just understand what works for them. Guys, whenever you get it ready, just put it on and we'll just flow with it. Ephesians 6:18 says, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Amen? So, the point I want to make to you guys is that prayer is that journey that is an individual one, and it is one that we must all find what works for us. Amen? So, you know, Jesus used a lot of analogies and parables. And in Matthew 13, he spoke a lot about, described a lot, the kingdom of heaven. And the kingdom of heaven, he referred to as, in very many guises. He talked about, for example, the mustard seed, you know, leaven in bread, in flour. He talked about, you know, I think it was the treasure in the middle of the field, and so on and so forth. So you know what? I want to share with you one such analogy today, okay? And it's one that I kind of pictured in my own mind, just helps me to just think about this idea of prayer. You know, when you have automatic doors, yeah? If you're in a mall or an airport and you're walking towards automatic doors, what do you expect to happen? When you get there, you expect the doors to open, yes? Okay. You know, when you get to those doors, do the doors just open? They do, yes? But if you don't approach the door doesn't open, does it? You have to take the steps. You have to walk towards the door, and as you get to it, the door opens. Yes? The picture that I felt that the Lord gave me is that those steps you take, that walk that you make towards the door, that is the analogy of prayer. Yeah? You have to take the action. And as you approach the door, what do you expect? You have a belief that the door is just going to open. You don't expect to walk into it. You expect that the door will open. And that belief, that trust that you have, that thing is faith in the analogy. Yeah? So together, walking up to the door is like prayer. And the belief that you have that the door will open, that is faith. And it's that combination of faith and works, those two things, that's where the sweet spot is. So the action and the belief, that is what combines to give us the results. Amen? So in these two scriptures, there are three common words I'm going to share with you very quickly. So Matthew 21:22 says, "And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive." Amen? Three words in there. Whatever you ask, believe, receive. Amen? It's the same thing in Mark 11:24. "Therefore, I say to you," right? "Whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." Amen? It's a sequence. You ask, believe, receive. Amen? And so, hopefully we'll get to do the survey at some point. My drill. You know, people in IT, technology, and so on might say to us that when you think about a tool, it has two things that have to be going for it to be relevant and to be able to do what it's supposed to do. One is utility. And the other, ITIL. And the other is warranty. Yeah? Utility is the what that the tool does. It's its fit for purpose, yeah? Does it do what it's supposed to do? And the warranty is the how, yeah? Is it fit for use? So, for example, if I need to make a hole, yeah? I need a drill, right? Not a saw. So the drill is fit for purpose. But if the drill doesn't have a battery or is not charged, it doesn't work. So it's a drill fit for purpose, but it's not fit for use. And that's the warranty. And when you put it back together, it's ready to do the job. Okay? So, in the same way, you know, in product marketing, just for a second, back to the MBA, you know, customers, right? Customers don't buy products. They buy benefits and solutions to their needs. Yeah? I'm going to say that again. Customers don't buy products. They buy benefits and solutions to their needs. So that's why marketers, they don't target the product, right? They don't target to try to create a product. They target our needs, your needs. So what that means, essentially, is that, back to the drill, people don't really want a quarter-inch drill. They want a quarter-inch hole. Amen? That's a quote from Theodore Levitt. People don't really want a quarter-inch drill. They want a quarter-inch hole. So do you need a TV? Does anybody need a TV? I don't presume so. I think what you really need is that you have a need for entertainment or information. Do you need a car? Not really. What you need is what you have is a need for transportation from A to B when you need it. And in the same way, the product that targets our needs, the drill, is prayer. Amen? So this should remind us and help us to understand the importance of prayer, because prayer is the DIY tool that unlocks benefits in life. Amen? And what are some of those benefits? Alignment with God's will for our lives, divine health and protection, resistance to sin, a favored life, financial blessing, direction at decision points, choice of life partner, a nation that serves God, Christian freedoms and impact around the world. These are the things that we unlock through prayer. Amen? And that's where prayer comes in. I'm going to pause at this moment to just ask. Guys, are we good? Is this a good time? Yes, fantastic. Let's do it again, ladies and gentlemen. Let's see if we can get that survey going. We need a QR code, and then we'll be good. And then we'll see, and then I'll share with you the rest of the message. You guys, when you are ready, please put it up. I keep turning around, I keep seeing nothing. Faith, thank you, Kem. Who said, was that Kevin that said that? Oh, sis, faith has materialized. Good, All right, that's good. Let's do it. We're going to see how far we get. Okay, we're getting there. Thank you. One question for you guys, just one question. Please keep joining as much as you can. We are at 100 and something. And yes, we'll get to 300 or so, and then we'll go. Fantastic. See, all the plans in the world, you never know how things are going to go, right? But let's just go with it. I still quite like to see the result of this. Okay, let's move. Okay, guys, let's do it. Let's go because of time. That's 300. So just next slide, please. That's it. I have one question for you. The question, the single question is, how was your prayer life? I mean, we just want to see how people vote. Yeah? Three options. I pray just enough, I want to pray more, or I don't pray. Yeah? Those are the three options. But, guys, we're going to move on. We're going to move on and come back. We'll see if we can do it at the end. The question type should just be a normal question type, guys, at the back. Yeah? Because it's not supposed to do that. Okay, never mind, guys. Let's move on. Let's move on. You guys, if you reset it, I'll give you one more chance and see if we can make it work. Okay, so the seven approaches and strategies. The seven approaches and strategies to prayer that I wanted to share with you. So very quickly. Seven practical approaches to ensure that our prayers have utility, they're fit for purpose, and also they have warranty fit for use. Number one, time. Very quickly. Number one, time. The time of day matters. So when we have time, when our spirit can focus, yeah, should be when we pray. We at times when we can remove disturbances, morning versus night person, what are you? Figure that out. Align your prayer time to your strengths. Amen? The time of day, Mark 1:35, very early in the morning. Now we're going to be like a speedboat, guys, so we're going to move quickly. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Luke 6:12, it says, in these days he went out to the mountain to pray, and all night he prayed and continued in prayer to God. Amen? You know, the duration of our prayer also matters, assuming that the target is that you want to increase how long you pray for. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. And I love the way he puts it in the TPT, which says, make your life a prayer. Amen? How often do we pray? Psalm 55:17, evening and morning and at noon, I utter my complaint and moan, and he hears my voice. Amen? So timing is crucial when we align ourselves to when we pray. So that's the first principle, and I want you guys to keep that in mind. Amen? Number two, space. Create the appropriate environment, especially if praying, if you're going to be praying for a while. The lighting in the space, the temperature, the room that you have. Just as you would prepare for a meeting at work or at church, create the space and make it right. Remove distractions. Create the right conditions. Because if you look again in Mark 1:35, I just read, it says, very early in the morning, Jesus got up, left the house, and went to a solitary place. A place that would engender the heart of prayer. Amen? Luke 5:16 says, but he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. Amen? Matthew 6:6, but when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Amen? The space is important. Number three, posture. This is not so much about stand, sit, you know, lie prostrate and all that. It's personally more, I personally like to pace around when I pray. I like to move around and walk around. You know, some people like to lie down. If I did that, I'd just sleep off. So that's not for me. But the thing about posture, right, is that it indicates the state of our hearts. Amen? It indicates the state of our hearts. So 1 Kings 18:42, Ahab went to eat and drink. Meanwhile, Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel, and he bowed himself down on the earth with his face between his knees. I imagine he did something like that. He was down, his face between his knees. Yeah? And he prayed and put his face between his knees. Matthew 26:39 in the NIV says, going a little further, he fell with his face, this is Jesus, to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken away from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will. This was before he was arrested. As you know, that was a heartfelt prayer. 1 Timothy 2:8, I desire then that in every place that men should pray, lifting holy hands without anger or quarreling. That's another posture stance. In Acts 9:40, but Peter put them all outside and knelt down and prayed. Knelt down and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. Amen? You know, different positions, lying prostrate, it might indicate honor and worship and reverence of God. Amen? Abraham and Job had examples of that. You know, and that's when you see God as God. Lifting hands is a sign of surrender. You know, acknowledging God's sovereign power and appealing to him when you see him as Father. Paul spoke about that. Solomon, when he was dedicated in the temple. Kneeling down is a sign of asking for mercy, forgiveness, and acknowledging his majesty. And you see him as king. And Elijah on Mount Carmel, as we just read. And Peter kneeling down when he was healing the girl. Amen? So, the posture is a state of our hearts. Number four, voice. Very quickly. Matthew 6:8. It says, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. You know, the point here is that sometimes that scripture may be erroneously thought about that you don't have to ask because your Father knows what you need. But it says before you ask. Amen? So you gotta ask. Yeah? Matthew 20:32. And stopping, Jesus called them and said, what do you want me to do for you? And we'll come back to this scripture in a second. Yeah? What do you want me to do for you? Voice it, express it, and be clear. So we have to voice our prayers. Psalm 66:17. I cried to him with my mouth, and high praise was on my tongue. Romans 10:19. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Amen? So 1 Samuel 16:7. God sees the heart. That's what that scripture tells us. In 1 Samuel 16:7, God sees the heart. But Romans 10:9 reminds us that, yes, our hearts are there, but our mouths must be present as well. So even though God sees our hearts, we have to bear our hearts to him. Amen? Amen. So our voices matter in the place of prayer. Number five, structure. Plan your prayer time. Write points down. Have them handy to refer to. You know, we talk about prayer as talking to God, yeah? That's what we refer to prayer as talking to God. And I have a theory I'm going to share with you very quickly. And I believe that anyone in the Bible that had a conversation with Jesus, yeah? They were talking to him and they ever asked him for anything. Essentially, they were praying. Yeah? That conversation was praying. Because, guess what? If we speak to Jesus today and we truly believe that he's there, which he is, and they spoke to him then, and ask him for things. What is the difference between what we are doing and what they're doing? Nothing. So when Jesus spoke to the centurion, Matthew 8:5-13, we don't have to go there, and was looking to heal his servant, that was prayer, even though it was a conversation to us. When Jesus spoke to the ruler of the synagogue, Mark 5:22-43, to heal his daughter, it was prayer. Amen? So every conversation that we have with Jesus, that is prayer. So be specific. Remember the difference between the need and the tool? Yeah, the tool is not the need. Yeah? So don't ask for a drill when what you need is a hole. Amen? Amen? Amen. So Matthew 20:29-34, very quickly, Jesus heals the two blind men. And I said I will come back to this. And they went out to Jericho. As they went out to Jericho, a great crowd followed him. And behold, there were two blind men sitting by the roadside. And when they heard that Jesus was passing by, they cried out, Lord, have mercy on us, son of David. The crowd rebuked them, telling them to be silent, but they cried out all the more, Lord, have mercy on us, son of David. And stopping, Jesus called them and said, what do you want me to do for you? The people asked, Lord, have mercy on me. And the Lord said, what do you want me to do for you? They were not specific at that point. And they said, let our eyes be opened. That's what they wanted all along. They said, have mercy on me. And then Jesus took pity on them, and immediately they recovered their sight and followed him. Amen? Amen? It's important to be specific. What do you want me to do for you? Link your prayers to the kingdom agenda. This is still part of the point on structure. I learned this one from Dr. Onuzo, and he said, you know, link your prayer to the kingdom agenda. You know, I remember once I had some excruciating back pain, and my wife remembers this time. That's the sort of thing that you have to lay on hard floor. But I prayed, and I said, you remember I said I like to pace when I walk? And I said, Lord, I can't pace around and pray, yeah, if this pain is there. And honestly, God healed me. Amen? So we have to celebrate God, celebrate God. I know we're moving quick. Yeah? Hallelujah. You know, it says in James 4:3, you ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. Let's ensure that our prayers are aligned to God's will. Amen. Number six, very quickly, attitude. Our attitude in prayer could differ by circumstance. Yeah? The attitude we have. But we must almost always come to God with at least two things. Yeah? One is humility. For God opposes the proud, the word says. James 4:6. Humility, for God opposes the proud. Yeah? And also acceptance of his sovereignty. We need to have that. Yeah? So sometimes prayers are answered, sometimes they're not. Yeah? We've got to accept that. But even if your prayers are not accepted, or heard, or answered, whichever way you choose to look at it, guess what? We only join the ranks of Jesus himself, or maybe even Paul. Luke 22:42, Jesus asked, remove this cup. But nonetheless, not my will, but yours be done. That prayer wasn't answered. Yeah? So, in Paul's example, 2 Corinthians 12, 8-9, he asked for his affliction to be removed 3 times. And God replied, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Amen? So, even if our prayers are not answered, God is still sovereign. Amen? Does anybody's theology accept that? Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. And finally, number seven is confidence. Confidence. Confidence is attractive to God. That's the first point. Yeah? Hebrews 4:16, very quickly. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace in times of need. Amen? Let us with confidence draw near to God. 1 John 5:14 to 15. And this is the confidence that we have towards him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of him. Amen? Part B of that one. Confidence is a sign of faith. James 1:16. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. Jeremiah 29:12. It says, by the way, let me read out James 1:6 again. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. Amen? And then Jeremiah 29:12. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me and I will hear you. Amen? Confidence is a sign of faith. And finally, in that section, the name of Jesus. Everybody say, the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus gives us confidence. Amen? Amen. John 14:13. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Amen? Amen. And 1 Timothy 2:5. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen? There is confidence in the name of Jesus that our prayers will be answered. And finally, to conclude, ladies and gentlemen, why is this all important? James 5:16, the second part, it says the prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. As it is working. Yeah? Another version says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Hallelujah. That is where we must be. Because we want Psalm 141 verse 2 to be real in our lives. And what does that say? Let my prayer be counted as incense before you, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Amen? Amen. May that be your prayer in Amen. Jesus' name. Amen. And even when we can't or we don't know what to pray or how to pray, he still fills in for us. Because Romans 8:26 says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Ladies and gentlemen, I put it to you that if all else fails, all we need to do is show up. Show up. And God is still going to be there for us. Amen. 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 Third time, amen? Amen. Amen. And so the summary, seven approaches. One, time, two, three, four, five, six. I know it's on the screen. Seven. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, can I ask you to rise to your feet as we pray? Amen. Amen. Let us pray. You know what? If you can grab someone, rise to your feet. Find someone. Two on two or three if you can't do two. Yeah? You can do two. Rise to your feet and grab your partner. I want you to pray for your partner, ladies and gentlemen. If you can do two, do two. If you can do three, do three. I want us to pray for your partner and pray for them that their prayer life will turn into having utility and warranty. Your prayer will be fit for purpose and it will be fit for use. Pray for your partner. Encourage them and strengthen them as they do to you. Amen. Amen. Father, we bless your holy name. We give you glory, Lord. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Father. Lord, we give you all the glory, give you all the honor. Thank you for your goodness and for your favor, Lord. Thank you that we will all increase in prayer. We will all be strengthened in prayer. That our prayer lives will be exciting with warranty and with utility, O God. Father, we bless your holy name. Pray for your partner. Strengthen them in the place of prayer. Father, we give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, you remember I said a non-praying Christian is an accident already happening. But beyond that, someone who is not a Christian, who doesn't have access to the power of prayer, everything I've said would be irrelevant at best. So I want to make one call very quickly. For anyone here at the base, online, or at the hub, who maybe you do not know Jesus Christ, this Jesus we speak of as your Lord and your Savior, maybe you don't know him at all. And you're curious and you want to find out more about Jesus and what it means to have salvation in him. Just want to ask if you would. I'm not going to embarrass anyone, so I'm not even going to ask you to indicate. I'm just going to say, if you join in this prayer, and afterwards, at the end of the service, please come to the front and speak to me or any of the pastors or anyone in leadership, and we can find out more and encourage you. Well, we'll do this as a family so that, you know, everyone's privacy is respected. But if you want to confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'm just going to say this prayer and you can just join us. Let's all say it, ladies and gentlemen, in encouragement. And if there's anyone online at the hub, just indicate where you are. And if here you want to indicate, please do raise your hand, do anything, or don't, and come forward at the end. But just say this prayer with us. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sin. Please forgive me and come into my life. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Please help me to live for you the rest of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Jesus loves us all. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. If you said that prayer, which we all will have said at some point in our lives, please just come and have a chat. And let's take this journey forward in Jesus' name. Amen. Anyone excited? Yes. Love church? Yes. Love Jesus? Yes. Hallelujah!